Welcome to the Nicholas Natale Show, where we chat with experts, entrepreneurs, and entertainers to help you live a more fulfilling life and take your business to the next level. This week on the podcast, we're talking about a wide variety of topics. But before we do, I want you to know that this episode was mixed and mastered by a man named Grant Singer. If you'd like Grant Singer to audio engineer your podcast, music, or film, hit him up on Instagram at Grant E. Singer, or you can head to his website, singerville.com. Welcome. This week's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be talking about hustle culture a tiny bit, and then we're going to take a look at some of the most asked questions on Quora. I'm going to give my answers to them. It's going to be a rapid fire kind of episode. So to start, hustle culture has got a lot of attention in the past few years with Gary Vee saying he would chop his own arm off to be 21 again just so he could do the grind and live it all over again. You got people saying you should never sleep because when you're sleeping, they're working. And if you're having fun somewhere, you better feel guilty about it because somebody else is not having fun somewhere, but they're growing their empire. And I think my story, let's just turn the focus back to me, please. I think my story falls into the category a little bit. It kind of gets tossed into the hustle culture category of work really, really hard, you'll get the results you want, and that's that. This idea that work is at the center of your life and everything else follows around it. And I think that's kind of a misleading way to live your life. In reality, there should be a little bit of balance of everything. Your relationships should have a place in your priority list, your relationship with God, your spirituality, how spiritual you are, should have a place in your priorities. Your health, physically, I think that's one of the first things that gets tossed to the wayside when we start to talk about hustle culture. And I think redefining what balance is and really defining what your results are. Sometimes in hustle culture, it feels like the need and necessity to do everything all the time and get results for everything that you're possibly doing. When in actuality, I think what maybe should be more glorified is doing less effort and having similar results. In programming, we really praise the less lines of code that you can write that's still clear and that's you're still able to read it, but performs the same functionality is better. Because if you're just writing a bunch of mumbo jumbo, it does the same thing, but it's all this extra work and it's so convoluted, it's hard for us to give praise to that. It's almost the idea of effortlessness or essentialism, both books by Greg McKeown, who said he'd come on my podcast. Greg, if you're listening to this, we got some beef, brother. I'm just kidding. Please come on the podcast. But he talks about the idea that you should be looking for ways to streamline things that you can do. Like, is there an easier way to do things? And right now, one of the things that I'm doing is uploading all of the video for the podcast onto the podcast YouTube channel. And what I realized is just how inefficiently I was doing this before. And to give you an example, I was recording with a separate camera, only recording my side of the voice, so I can't audio sync it directly with the final audio. And it's just all these extra little steps that are super unnecessary. And I could have just streamlined the whole thing by doing it all at once. My proposition to you is, are there areas in your life where you're trying to take on too much? And maybe you need to boil down to what you think would be your highest priority. Are you giving things in your life too much priority? Do you feel guilty for relaxing? Do you feel guilty when you're not working? These are signs of hustle culture. Now, the flip side is I think there's this other side of the community that is so anti-hustle culture that they have a hard time identifying when they are working hard. Now, I do believe that results take hard work and intentional effort. And sometimes, myself included, I get a little bit delusional on what hard work is. If I spend 3 hours a day scrolling on the gram, but I had an hour of focused work, and I'm like, yeah, I've had a lot of hard work today. I don't know if that's quite the truth. It's unfocused. It's distracted. But on the flip side, if I can honestly say I did the most that I could in a single day, and it's in a time frame, I have boundaries on when I am thinking about work and not thinking about work, I think those are things to consider. How much of your work life is taking over your actual life? Now, that's all I really wanted to say about hustle culture. Don't let it define you, but find and search for the balance that feels right in your life. All right, the most asked questions on Quora. Number one was, how hard has puberty hit you? Don't know, still waiting. What are the best ways to lose weight? That's a great question. Let me pull out my PT certification. If you're asking me, there's probably more qualified people out there, but being a calorie deficit, what's the easiest way to make money online? That's a great question. And here are the first things that come to mind. If you have a income that is stable consistently every month, I highly recommend index funds for long-term investing. I have plenty of episodes on this. I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but really, this is as simple as 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 20, to create an account with Vanguard or Fidelity. Find yourself a nice index fund with a low expense ratio, set up automatic investments, and then reap the benefits for years to come. That's an extremely simple, easy way to bring in some money in the long term. What's another way to make some easy dough? I'm not sure if easy is the best word. I'm sure filling out surveys for all those paid survey sites is probably an easy way, but it wouldn't be worth your time. You can set up freelance profiles. And last month, for transparency's sake, I made almost $3,000 off of this one strategy for money making. Take a skill that you have or a skill that you would like to have, create a freelancing profile on Fiverr, Upwork, Contra, freelancer.com, any of the major freelancing websites. I recommend you make a profile for all of them. You're going to post 3 gigs. You're going to have 3 gigs ready to go. You're going to fill out every part of your profile, talking your bio, I'm talking the descriptions, leaving nothing uncovered. And the other thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to show your face, because what I've learned and what I've noticed is I don't trust the other profiles that aren't a human on the other side. And I'm not telling you to catfish people, please do not do that, but I think it's a wise investment to show your face, at least in your profile picture on these freelance websites, kind of like a LinkedIn. If you went on LinkedIn and you saw somebody without an actual photo of their face, you'd be like, well, this is odd. So view it as a professional portfolio. And you'd be surprised. Some of these websites have really good algorithms to matching people quickly. I definitely would say underprice your service for a month or two until you have enough reviews and reputation until you can actually charge what you would like to charge. That's my hot take on how to make money easier online. Next question on Quora. These are some bangers. How can I stop being average? By getting disciplined would be the first thing that comes to mind. I think a way to push yourself is to set goals that are challenging but not overwhelming. And I think something that many of us can relate to is the feeling of floating and being directionless and putting a plan into motion and simply doing something. Choosing something and pursuing it will help you be above average. Now, this is sounding like I believe that I'm above average, and I don't think I'm better than anybody else in any sense, but I do think a way to stand out is being disciplined, creating a plan, and pursuing it wholeheartedly. That's a 3 surefire way to make it happen. The other thing that you can do is exercise regularly. When I was getting my cert for PT back in the day, the stat then was 2/3 of America was overweight and obese. So if you'd like to stand out from 66% of the US, exercise regularly, gain some muscle tone, and get after it. How do I know if I am an introvert? Great question. Do you get your energy from other people, or do you recharge from being by yourself? That's how I quantify introvert, extrovert. I'm not entirely convinced that the stereotype that extroverts are loud and outgoing means that introverts can't be loud and outgoing. I think it's more about how you recharge. How do I stay motivated? Another absolute wonderful question. Thanks, Quora. You're really carrying the team, putting the team on your back. Hope it doesn't hurt. How to stay motivated? In my most motivated stages in life is when I reflected on my why the most. So backtracking to talking about goals and the things that we'd like to accomplish or doing something in general, having a strong why is really the main component to sticking with things that you are trying to do. Because if your why isn't strong enough, odds are you're gonna let things fall through the cracks. So defining your why. So if you have something that you would like to do, or if you're saying, I wanna go to the gym. I'm using a lot of gym examples. Let's say if you are someone who wants to get into swimming, big swimmer, but you gotta commute to the swimming pool to do it. If you don't have a strong why, that commute's gonna seem tougher and tougher. Also, there's the whole things about making the commute sexy, making it easier for you to do. Maybe you have your best podcast on there. I don't know. That wasn't a plug. Maybe you find a way to make your commute fun, all of those things. But having a strong why, and maybe it's you just wanted to be absolutely shredded. Maybe you want those big swimmer shoulders. Maybe you want an excuse to shave your whole body. Those are all, if that's a strong enough why for you, get after it. What are some of the most effective ways to fight depression? Here are my two thoughts on some of the most effective ways to fight depression. First thing is get plugged in. It sounds easier said than done, but spend more time with people. Don't isolate. Spend time with people that love you and care about you, even if it feels like nobody does right now. Two, talk to those people that you can identify as people that love and care for you, and if you trust them truly, tell them what's going on in your life. Thirdly, don't focus on results. Focus on processes. And what I mean by that is if you are a high achiever and you're depressed, a lot of times it's due to thinking that the goal was going to be the reward, but it's not. It's the process. It's the doing that we typically enjoy because goals come and go in a single moment. You hold them for a matter of seconds, minutes. You can celebrate them, but then they're gone. So it's more about creating good habits and goals. I've said it a handful of times throughout this episode already, but another thing that has helped me in the past fight through depression is choosing to do something. I think depression is a debilitating thing where you don't feel like doing anything. You don't feel like you're worthy of doing anything. And simply starting to do and choose something, even if it's a hobby, and doing it consistently will provide you with an outlet and give you some more of that purpose that you're hoping to grab onto. And of course, the other big three, diet, exercise, get outside, stay hydrated, take care of your body. But understand that it's difficult to do that when you don't always feel your best. But that is what I would say. And lastly, pray. I think prayer is a big one. Try to get into prayer as often as you can. What are the best ways to think of ideas for a startup? Love that. Love that question. We're talking about creativity in general. How do we come up with ideas? I think this is kind of a loaded question. If you're thinking of ideas for a startup, think of long-term sustainability and what is going to make money for years to come. What I mean by that is, how do you define a successful business? A business that makes money at the end of the day. So you can have the best intentions, and I hope your business does solve a problem for a specific people group, benefits their lives, and I'm sure that will happen if you do run a business because you solve problems for people. But if your business does not breed or stew up some cash flow, it's gonna be a long road. But how to come up with ideas in general? Ooh, this is where it's important to try not to let go of all the imagination we had as kids. When you think of a problem and you find a solution, that's a business idea right there. But other ways to do it that I foresee is if you see something, like let's say I'm looking at stepladders. I'm looking at a stepladder right now. Who would this stepladder be for? Is there another people group that would benefit from the stepladder? Like maybe since this one is into my house and it's only used for getting up onto high cabinets, I wonder if I could create step ladders specifically for people that just want it as furniture or make it decorative. And it's really just branching ideas off of things that are already created. So everything under the sun has been made, but now we're just kind of playing the word association game. If I got a journal here, this journal next to me, what if I made a journal specifically for musicians and it provided them with songwriting prompts? But it starts with the journal. I think oftentimes we get caught up in worrying about if we're original enough, but I think originality is always coming from ideas that are already created. Isn't there a quote that says, good artists create, better artists steal, something along those lines? So every time you see something, see an object, see a word, try to think of what that thing does to solve the problem for a particular people group. Next question, how safe is China? Wow, what a doozy of a question. When I went, I thought it was pretty safe. The only problems I had was as soon as I got off the airplane, they took my fingerprints and my social security number, and they were pretty much like, you can't come in until we have it. And then when I was trying to leave, they just dumped out all my whole suitcase on the ground and was kind of just like, yeah, pick it up. We don't really care about you. And I was like, this is intense. But inside of the country, they have insane amount of surveillance. This is my experience, speaking from my own experience, of course. And if you are to cross them in any way, you are in some big time trouble. So definitely don't find yourself in trouble with the Chinese government. However, as regards to like being physically safe, I never had any concerns of being attacked or harmed, but I cannot speak for all of China as I was only in Tianjin, Tianjin, and then I was in Beijing for maybe 2 days. So take that with a grain of salt. Another motivation question, what do you do to motivate yourself when you're about to give up? Once again, this is a twofold answer. You go back to your why. Is my why strong enough to keep going? And the second thing is, can you live without this thing? Oftentimes, if it's a goal that you truly want, you can't live without it. You can't imagine a life where you don't do it. You can't imagine a life where you're not consistently trying at this thing. And even if you were to fail repeatedly, you feel like you can't live any other type of life other than in pursuit of this thing. It's always temporary. Motivation can come and go, but discipline remains. So I don't always believe that you should be running off of your own motivation. I often think, and there's a quote on my whiteboard behind me, that says, we don't rise to our expectations, we fall to our training. I think it's a matter of being disciplined to put in the work day after day, and motivation becomes less of an issue, and excellence or excelling becomes more of a habit. And I got another quote up on my whiteboard that I just gotta share with you as well. It's never let failure predetermine your future. The times where I feel discouraged or unmotivated is when I feel like I'm failing. But if I'm failing now, that doesn't mean I'll fail tomorrow. It's a matter of gaining perspective. And commitment is the foundation for all accomplishments. We're going to wrap up with what to do if you are feeling stuck. If you're feeling stuck, there's a few avenues that you can take. The first is redefine your goal or re-examine your goal. What I mean by that is ensure that you've set a clear enough goal. Who, what, why, when, where, what are you going to do, when are you going to do it by, why are you doing it, how do you know you will have succeeded in the thing that you're doing, what are the results that you want, what are the actions you need to take, what process do you need to lay out in order to do it, and break it down step by step. So really get clear on your goals if you're feeling stuck. Second thing that you can do is find somebody who has been successful at the thing that you want to do. Pick their brain, become their friend, tell them what's going on, and maybe get some more insight. And also do your research. Sometimes it's as simple as looking at what successful people are doing and replicating it in your own way or step by step if it's something that you can do identically. And speaking on breaking things down, a question to ask yourself is, what is the most important next step? It's called the MIN, most important next step. I've also heard it called the WIN, which is what is important now. Either of those questions should help you break it down into what's important right now that's going to get me to the next spot up. How do I keep moving forward in the smallest increments that I can? How do I streamline this? The other thing is maybe you're just not blocking out your time and setting boundaries for undistracted work. Spacing out blocks of time where you say, hey, I'm gonna go no phone, no distractions, go all in on this thing for a specific duration of time. And put it on the calendar if you're like me. If it's not on the calendar, it's not gonna happen. Block out your time so you can ensure that you're getting the things that you want done, done. And lastly, sometimes you simply haven't stuck with it for long enough. I think a lot of times it's easy for us to feel stuck when we really haven't even gotten going. Haven't got going yet. Sometimes you're making all the right steps, doing all the right things. It's just a matter of time for you to learn those things that you wouldn't know unless you've done it for a while. And I think that's kind of where getting mentorship or finding a friend or a person that's done it before can help you get to where you want to go quicker. That's what I have for this week. Thank you for tuning in. You know I'm not gonna leave here without telling you a riddle. So what's a ninja's favorite type of shoe? What are their favorite types of shoes? Sneakers. Sneakers, the perfect footwear for sneaking around in those sneakers, tiptoeing in the Jordans. All around the clock. Please do not forget to leave a 5-star review, share this episode with a friend, screenshot it, post on Instagram, and tag me. And also say hello to Grant Singer. He's the one that mixed and mastered this episode. Reach out to him on Instagram at Grant E. Singer or shoot him a email through his website, singerville.com. You can find a contact form there. Thank you so much for listening. You have purpose and keep fighting for the things that you want to see happen in this lifetime. I love you. I care about you. And I'll see you next week, 6 a.m. Bye.
Bye.